Breeze takes the snap. Back to pass. He got hit as he throws. It's up high, and it's picked off. Gibson's got it at the 50, at the 40, at the 30, at the 20. He is gone. Touchdown to Sean Gibson. Bortles by himself, shotgun from his own 26, back to pass with a blitz coming. He throws, and it is picked off. The Browns get it again at the 30-yard line. By golly, he's got his second of the game. It's Tashawn Gibson.
Boy, he jumped that route. He saw it all the way.
Back at his goal line, Ryan with plenty of time, throws, and it is intercepted by Joe Hayden. He's got it at the 29-yard line. He was in front of Julio Jones, and he came down with the ball inbounds. Dalton back to pass, steps up. He's going to go long and deep, and Buster Screen is back there, and he's wrestling for the ball at the 20, and he's got it, his second interception of the night. First down, play action, Kruger coming off the corner. Glennon steps up, going long, got a man down there, and it's tipped away and tipped into the arms of Whitner. It's a pick. He's to the 40, 50, 45, down the sideline, 30. Gets away from Glennon, but he rips him down at the 21-yard line. Joe Hayden tipped it, and Whitner ended up with the pick. Shotgun for Andrew Luck. He takes the snap, back to pass, inside his five. He got hit as he threw it, picked off. Picked off as getting it is Justin Gilbert. He's to the 15, wide right 10. He's to the 5, touchdown! Justin Gilbert! Who would have thought it?
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. They will help you tackle all of your needs because they are fantastic. Ohio Business Machines. Hit them up at ohiobusinessmachines.com. Their loyalty to our team, well, it's unconditional. They've been unconditional fans out of all their customers as well. Only OBM has the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your team. 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Hour number two, you heard that wonderful rejoin put together by the great Jason Gibbs there as we take a look at the secondary of the Browns. It is, in my opinion, the best secondary in the entire National Football League. Three of the four members going to the Pro Bowl now that Dante Whitner will join Tashawn Gibson and Joe Hayden, who was named a Pro Bowl captain, by the way, there at the Pro Bowl in Arizona, that coming today. So certainly very good news for Dante Whitner. Comes back to Cleveland, makes his third straight Pro Bowl, his first as a member of the Cleveland Browns. The Browns ranked eighth in pass defense at 224.5 yards per game. They were second in number one, second in interceptions with 21, first in the league in passes defense, second in percentage of first downs allowed through the air, first in opponents' passer rating at 74.1. They were, in my opinion, the preeminent secondary in the National Football League. Again, they will send three members to the Pro Bowl. They've got a lot of talent. They've got youth. They've got experience. They've kind of got it all. Tashawn Gibson, Dante Whitner, those were your starting safeties. Joe Hayden, Buster Screen, those were your starting corners. And the nickel corner ended up becoming Kaywan Williams, an undrafted free agent rookie. He was very good. Pierre Desir came in and started a game as the number one corner, basically. Matched up with Kelvin Benjamin against Carolina. Played great. Fourth round pick. A lot of optimism about him. Justin Gilbert, the first round pick, he struggled a little bit, but overall, top to bottom, a very good group. You had the veteran Jim Leonard, who played well when called upon. He's going to retire at the end of this season, or he will be retiring. So you still have Jordan Poyer there, who also showed some flashes in that secondary. But this unit just as good as any in the NFL.
They definitely are. And you know what? There's a few things that I love about this unit that sets them apart, not only on this football team, but from other defensive back groups across the NFL. First and foremost, it's the swagger and the confidence that they have. I believe that this group of guys goes out on the football field each and every week. They play, they thrive off each other. And then also, too, is and they walk out there knowing that they're the best, knowing that they can make a difference in a football game. And there's sometimes that a position group, you hope that exists, but it not always does. So that swagger that they have, and I love that, you know, most of the swagger in the defensive backfield, in my eyes, comes from, first and foremost, Joe Hayden. And then secondly, comes from the amazing leadership of Dante Whitner. And then I feel the other two guys actually feed into that and feed off of that. Tashawn Gibson, you know, an undrafted free agent who's still earning his keep and took advantage of his opportunity this year. You know, six interceptions, you know, through 11 games. Unfortunately, you know, the injury plagued the rest. But the what you love is the respect that was earned, that his team, his teammates, the rest of the league, the fans, the coaches all saw enough play out of him to vote him to that initial Pro Bowl. And then you got to figure, you know, Buster Skrine always playing opposite of such a dominant corner like Joe Hayden is not always easy. And he had his ups and downs, but for the most part, very solid. And something that I know we'll talk about is if, in fact, we do resign Buster Skrine here in Cleveland or not, and will there be enough money, you know, left to pay Buster Skrine the way he wants. Secondly, you've got to love their ability, their ball hawking ability, the way that they take it away, how competitive they are, and consistently battling for the football. There are times early in the season that it looked like they weren't, weren't trying, but the ball was just caught in front of them, and then they were reactive to make some tackles. But I thought as the season went on, as their confidence grew, man, they were competing for balls. You saw batted balls, you saw interceptions, and that is what you have to have, especially with question marks around your quarterback. Give that offense as many opportunities as they have. And I think lastly, in some cases down the stretch, this group of guys carried this football team defensively.
There's no question about it. I thought it was the elite group. Joe Hayden, as we talked about, a corner going to the Pro Bowl, 20 passes defensed on the season, 4 interceptions. He played phenomenally well. 3 interceptions, I'm sorry, matching up with the number one corner wide receiver every week. 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble. The other corner, Buster Skrine, 4 picks himself, 18 passes defensed on the season. And I thought Kaywan Williams came in and played great. In fact, Pro Football Focus said Kaywan Williams is the Browns' highest graded cornerback as well this season. The young undrafted free agent rookie came in, played the slot extremely effectively. Justin Gilbert, probably the only disappointment in this secondary. I thought he had a very rough rookie year, looked lost at times, did things off the field that got him benched, really struggled. He will be counted on to play a bigger role, and as will Pierre Desir. I think you look at Whitner, Gibson, they're both back. Gipper, restricted free agent. The Browns will, I'm sure, make sure they keep him. Dante Whitner back. Jordan Poyer would be kind of that third safety for them, and maybe they'll look to add one in the offseason as well. Don't forget Robert Nelson, another undrafted free agent rookie they like a lot as a cornerback, especially as a kind of a slot corner. The real question, I think the biggest question facing Ray Farmer and company this offseason is, what do you do with Buster Skrine? Because he played well. He's going to command money. This is a Browns pass defense that, according to Pro Football Focus, was number one in coverage in the NFL. They had the top covering secondary in the NFL this season. So what do you do with Buster Skrine? How much money are you willing to pay him? You've got a lot of money invested in Joe Hayden. You've got, on one side, Justin Gilbert, who you're counting on to be a starter on the outside.
You've got a significant amount of money invested in him, too, because of bonuses and things that will come up on a rookie contract as well.
You've got Pierre Desir, who might be better than Justin Gilbert, who could start outside on the other side. And then you've got 2 young slot guys in Kaywan Williams and Robert Nelson. So if you looked at it and didn't have Buster there, I think you're still pretty comfortable with where you're at with your top 5 corners on this team. So the question is, how much of an investment do you make in Buster? Because he did play well. You do want to see him, you know, stay here.
Oh, you definitely do. And I think that's what they're up against is making playing here in Cleveland enticing enough, both financially and because of his comfort zone and where he has started his career, to keep him here. But that carrot sometimes dangles and looms so large. From an agent standpoint, wanting to make that payday for your corner,
and maybe
Buster Skrine, in some cases, the corner or defensive back position is a very egotistical position to play that comes with confidence and swagger, and you would have to argue, could Buster Skrine essentially go be the number one guy somewhere else? If he's comfortable here in Cleveland and he's comfortable being a secondary corner, you know, besides Joe Hayden, which in some cases brings on a lot more work, could he go somewhere else and be the guy like we saw Brent Grimes do, go down, you know, to Miami, leave Atlanta, who was opposite, was it Dante Robinson? He was opposite from for a,
Dante Robinson,
know, yep. A portion of his career. He takes a big free agent deal, goes down to Miami and shuts
balls.
It down and just balls, you know. So there's situations like that that are always feeding that frenzy, which doesn't make this very easy situation.
It's going to be tough. That's going to be one to watch. Let's hand out some grades here on this secondary. We'll start with the cornerback, Joe Hayden.
Joe Hayden, I've got to give him an A-. And the only reason he's not getting an A or essentially an A-plus is because of his slow start. Who he is and what he is to this team as a leader, as a person, and now a consistent Pro Bowler, he's the equivalent to the Joe Thomas on defense.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to give him an A, matched up with the top receivers in the NFL, battled through injuries. I thought the fact that he came out and played the way that he did
with
at the end
hip,
of the year against Baltimore, I
thought
showed
season,
a lot. Yeah, I'm going to give Joe Hayden an A. Buster Screen on the other side, the number two corner, as we said, 18 passes, defense, 4 picks on the season.
I'm going to give Buster Screen a B+, just because of we can identify some of his struggles, and we know the exact game, the exact receiver and who it was, and in my mind, the one that sticks out is Mike Evans,
yep,
from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And of course, we won that football game, but it wasn't easy, and a lot of it was because they took advantage of him. And so for that reason, I just bump him down. But you got to figure a B+ is a great grade, and you know he's one play, one pick away from an A-.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B. I thought he made improvements. I thought he did well, but when you look at it, he was targeted as much as any cornerback in the NFL, 123 times. Teams went away from him, attacked him. He gave up 864 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's the second most touchdowns in the NFL. So I thought Buster, while he played well, I thought at times he also did struggle a little bit, and I do see him as, you know, he is a solid number two. I thought his best game came actually when Joe Hayden went out against Cincinnati here, and he took over against A.J. Green. He actually played well in that one. In the Cincinnati game in Cincinnati, had a couple
Muhammad
of interceptions
Sanu,
there. Played very, very well. I like Buster Screen. I think at times with bigger receivers, he can struggle, and with physical receivers, and they did take advantage of him in Baltimore at the end of the season. Now, I think that he's played better than his draft position. He's been an asset to this organization. I think that is going to be a very difficult decision for Ray Farmer and company this offseason, what to do, because you've got Gilbert, you've got Dazeer, you've got Kwan Williams, you've got Robert Nelson, 4 rookies alongside, you know, now second-year players, young guys who you're expecting to get contributions from there. All right, let's talk about the slot corner. Kwan Williams comes in his rookie season. Basically, there's not even any way about it, beats out Justin Gilbert to be the team's third corner, because they would have moved Buster into the slot, and instead they had Kwan go in the slot, Buster stay on the field. So he did come out and he beat out, you know, Justin Gilbert to
sure,
be the slot
number
corner.
One overall pick. Yeah, I've got to give him an A. And I thought his performance overall, there's the same way that some of the negativity surrounding Buster Screen, you can identify exactly when he got used and abused by who and which game it was. You can't say that about Kwan Williams. And you have to understand what he was up against. When you're a first-round draft pick, you get the benefit of the doubt 9 times out of 10, and you have to be significantly better than him. So just to earn that playing time and earn that opportunity was big on his behalf to secure himself as an NFL corner, but to play at the level he did and to never have a drop-off from an undrafted status means a lot in what type of player he is.
Yeah, he did a great job in the slot, as I said, just 1.1 yards per cover snap, one of the better figures in the slot this season, and gave about a 50% catch rate, which was, again, also very, very good. So I thought Kwan Williams played well. I'll give him an A also, given what you were expected of him this season. Now let's take a look at the other corners. We'll talk about Justin Gilbert right now. Disappointing rookie season, to say the least.
Yeah, Justin Gilbert, in my eyes, is going to get a D. He'll get a D, and a lot of the reason has to do with more of he looked lost early, and he was playing with his old bad habits. And then when he finally got a more consistent opportunity, as we saw him, you know, show flashes of knowing what's going on within his defense, then all the off-field stuff kind of came in. So his rookie season was a roller coaster that never really got up off the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call it, I'm going to give him a D-. I'm not going to give him an F, but I'm going to give him a D-. I thought off the field, too many issues, too much entitlement, and a complete lack of focus on his craft.
Interest.
Saying knucklehead things, you know, I never had to work on technique before. I figured I could just get by. He's got to step up and he's got to become a player. And so far, my, you know, confidence in that right now is lower than I would like it to be. But do I think that he's done? No. But Justin Gilbert's got a lot of growing up to do, and he's got a lot of improvement to make, and he's going to have to do that in a hurry.
Not a doubt. Are we moving on?
Now we'll go with our guy, my guy, Pierre Desir, who I thought came in and played very well once given an opportunity, really thrust in the action against Cincinnati and then Carolina, and I thought came through with shining colors, played extremely well.
Pierre Desir, I have to give an A. Again, the limited sample size, but when his number was called, which is what every young player wants in the NFL, is that shot. Because as you stand on the sideline and you look out there, you go, I can do this. I know I can play at this level. And a lot of that confidence comes from the way in which you practice. But when he was thrust in there, every opportunity that he had, he shined. And like you said, you love him and you love him as a player. And you've got to understand what that value as an undrafted free agent in the cap space for you to get quality snaps out of an undrafted free agent.
The zero is a fourth round pick.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Fourth round pick. So
still very great value.
But I mean, from a salary standpoint, it's you're getting a great value
totally.
Over the course of, again, we could potentially see him opposite Joe Hayden. And you got to figure the money that we would have to give a Buster Screen, $6, $7, $8, $9 million a year, we're paying $500,000 for. And that's a huge value.
It's a huge value. And I think this is a guy who I'm a big fan of on and off the field. I thought once he had an opportunity to come out and really show what he could do, I thought really came through and was excellent for this Browns team. And again, that is Pierre Desir. I was very impressed with the way that he counted himself because he went against Mohamed Sanu and Kelvin Benjamin back-to-back and held them, basically to 50 yards combined in two games. And I thought he did a great job. Big physical press corner. I think that he's got all the tools to really be a successful player for this team, and I like what he showed when he was out on the field. I think he's got an opportunity to be very, very good going forward. And again, two pass breakups on only 10 targets, that's a good ratio. You certainly like to see that. I was impressed with Pierre, and I think we're going to see a lot more of him next season. And Justin Gilbert's going to have a tough time getting ahead of Pierre Desir and Kaywan Williams, let alone Pierre Desir, Kaywan Williams, and Buster Screen, if Buster Screen is back. I think that will be an interesting challenge there. The two safeties, Sashawn Gibson, I'm going to give an A to. Led the league with 6 interceptions before he got hurt. Seems to always be in the right place at the right time. Perfect in this defense. And Dante Whitner, I'm going to give a B+ to. I thought that he brought it. His effort was phenomenal week in and week out. A lot of leadership, a lot of intangibles. There were times when I thought maybe could have come up with a pick here or there that he didn't, or a tackle here or there that he didn't. But overall, Dante Whitner, very solid, great addition to this team. Actually, I'll give him an A- because of what he means off the field as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go A with Deshaun, and a lot of that has to do with being in the right place at the right time, and that comes with film study, as we talked early in the year when he was on that interception streak. And then I'm going to give a B+ to Dante, and I understand what he brings, and those intangibles you can't teach, and it's a lot of what playing like a Brown actually means within this locker room, and he epitomizes that. I just thought there were times where, we missed the Hittner, and we needed the Hittner. The Hittner kind of came and went, as opposed to kind of, being there all season long. And I also thought sometimes tackling and his angles in tackling were bad, and it just made bad for the defense, and it actually made a bad play worse because he wasn't able to solidify a tackle. So for that reason, he gets a little bit of a drop-off.
Yes, he does a little bit there, but still, what a great secondary. Great career finished out also by Jim Leonard, who I thought played well. A couple interceptions once he filled in for Deshaun Gibson. But the secondary, the strength of this team, and I'd say it is the best in the NFL. The real questions going into next year will be, do they keep Buster Screen? How much do you pay Buster Screen, number one? And number two, who's the safety that comes in to kind of buttress that group alongside Whitner, Gibson, and Jordan Poyer? When we come back, it is time to talk with the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. His thoughts on the championship games this weekend, the Browns, the offensive coordinator search, and much, much more when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.